A grim innovation from Greece, the slow-motion layoff.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. In Greece today, there's a 24-hour general strike to protest an ominous innovation. Under pressure from other Eurozone countries and the International Monetary Fund, the Greek parliament today is voting on whether to send as many as 25,000 government workers into what is blandly called the labor reserve. This is at best a kind of job purgatory. The BBC's Europe correspondent Chris Morris is in Athens. Good morning, Chris.
Morning.
So what is this thing, a labor reserve?
What it means is thousands of people are going to be moved from their full-time jobs into this labor reserve where they will try to be redeployed to other jobs. If after a certain amount of time they're not redeployed, then eventually they will lose their temporary salaries and lose their jobs. I've not found anyone who thinks they will emerge from that labor reserve with a job. So it's a slow way of cutting jobs in the public sector.
Now, will there be many private sector jobs awaiting these public sector employees if indeed labor reserve leads to layoff?
I'm afraid there won't be. That's Greece's big problem at the moment. It has the highest unemployment rate in the European Union, 27%. And the problem is there's no sense of any investment. Investors from abroad are worried because people here aren't consuming. If you're not consuming, why do you want to make stuff? And there are really very few jobs. A couple of sectors are doing okay. Tourism, for example, it's big right now in the summer. Lots of people come to the Greek beaches and so forth. But in the winter, the trade virtually disappears. It's very cyclical. And so they're struggling to find any kind of economic growth from anywhere. And that's really the big problem in this whole process of the bailout program. How do you get out of this downward spiral, which Greece has been in for the last few years?
The BBC's Chris Morris in Athens. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Now let's do the numbers. Wall Street players are building their morning around Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke's testimony on Capitol Hill beginning shortly after 10 o'clock Eastern today. The FT 100 is down 0.5% now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down at the moment as well. Today, a judge will rule on the mother of all property damage lawsuits. Nearly 12 years since September 11th, the World Trade Center developer is still going after airlines, airports, and even the airplanes that brought down the Twin Towers. Stan Alcorn has the story.
This isn't the first time an airline has been sued for a terrorist attack. After Pan American Flight 103 was blown up over Lockerbie, Scotland, attorney James Kreindler helped lead a lawsuit against Pan Am.
Pan Am is the prototype of terrorism litigation.
They won more than $500 million for the families of the Lockerbie victims. But in this current 9/11 case, the victim is a real estate developer.
You know, it doesn't have the enormous emotional appeal as listening to family members whose family was killed. But legally, the claim should be the same.
That claim is that airlines and airports were negligent in their security procedures, and Boeing should have built a more secure cockpit. That might seem like a stretch, but
you've got a problem when you're dealing with airlines.
Bruce Ottley is a law professor at DePaul University.
They're public carriers, and they're held to a higher standard than you or I are held to.
If the judge finds the aviation companies fell short, they could be on the hook for up to $3.5 billion. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
The American labor market still isn't strong enough for many to switch jobs, even if they can't stand the one they have. But we came across research showing that once people have been settled in a job for a few years, women are less likely to leave than men. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
For a long time, Danielle Maville thought of herself as lucky. She was a creative type working for Etsy, an online marketplace selling handmade and vintage stuff. She had this cute work alias, Danielle XO.
I actually probably should have left probably a year, maybe more than a year before I did. I just really couldn't imagine who I would be if I wasn't Danielle XO.
Her whole identity was tied up with her job, and it wasn't just that. After several years,
I felt like I owed it to the company to be there.
Jessica Bennett isn't surprised to hear that. She's editorial director of Lean In. That's Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg's foundation. Bennett says women can be extremely loyal. She used to work with guys who regularly put counteroffers in front of their bosses just to get a raise. She couldn't bring herself to do the same.
When you get in a place where you feel like you've come up there, you've been promoted there, or if there have been people who've helped you along the way, you feel committed to them. It's almost like you're in a relationship with them, and you feel guilty in some way leaving.
But date your employer for too long, and it could cost you a lot of money. Danielle Maville got a 38% raise when she finally left Etsy and began a new job. Switching companies is often the best way to get a big salary bump. Dana Britton directs the Center for Women and Work at Rutgers University. She says one important factor keeping women in the same jobs is their kids. She says because there's no national policy on leave or flexible hours, employees with some level of flexibility tend to feel lucky where they are.
They often perceive it as a one-off, right? So this is something that my boss did because they're nice to me, or my supervisor did, or my company did. And so they feel it as a sort of personal benefit. It's not a benefit that's transferable.
Anne Britton says there's another big reason women may want to hang on to what they've got. A recent Pew survey found 40% of mothers are now the main or only breadwinners in their families. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And at ESPN.com, the anonymous comments from fans run nasty, if not abusive, like getting stuck between drunks in the bleachers. Now a new policy at ESPN. If you want to share views online, you have to log in through Facebook, peeling away much of the anonymity of online contributors and maybe raising the level of discourse. You can read more about sports trolls at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.